Congresswoman, good morning. I want to start with that awful, awful concert attack that took place in Manchester. ISIS has now claimed responsibility. Is there any evidence you've heard to back that up?
There's no evidence yet, and I think British authorities have yet to confirm the linkage. The real issue is whether or not Muslim youth around the United States and around the world feel there's a pathway forward for them, or do they become so isolated that this is their only avenue of making a statement about their religion.
Together.
Radio.
We have audio, no video.
Radio Free V-Dot. Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt going into 1720. That is the 20th podcast of 2017. I hope you guys are having a safe and blessed Memorial Day weekend. Thank you guys all for being out there tuning in and tuning in yesterday on our American Christian Network affiliate KTW out of Spokane on the 6:30 a.m. and 96.5 FM. The show that we have on the terrestrial stations, every Saturday from 9 to 9:30. Now, something I wanted to mention last week, the podcast is there. It is up there. It is uploaded. I did something that I won't do again, but what I did was I made an announcement because we had a kind of a last minute unscheduled leadership meeting right about the time I was supposed to air the show. So I postponed it. So I posted an announcement. Hey guys, I'm in a meeting. I'm going to produce the show, you know, late tonight and finish it up tomorrow morning and get it uploaded. So I did. I uploaded the new show. But what I did was I went into Podbean and I just edited the podcast instead of the announcement. I just replaced the audio file with the actual show that I had postponed, and I removed the announcement of the postponed show and actually uploaded the show. But most of the people were showing on their Podbean that you've already listened to this. So they didn't realize that the show had replaced the announcement audio, and so a lot of people didn't realized that and missed last week's show. So I just want to let you know it's there. It was there on Monday. And in the future, what I'll do is I'll just create an entirely new post, upload the new audio file if we're ever in that situation again, and just delete the old one instead of editing it and just swapping out the audio files. So that's the explanation for that. So if you missed it, you've been waiting for last week's show to come out. It was out on Monday. So go ahead and check that out if you'd like. And, oh, we've got a bunch of stuff we're going to cover tonight. So sit back, enjoy, take notes. And thank you guys for sharing Radio Free Redoubt with your friends, your like-minded fellow patriots, God-fearing, freedom-loving patriots. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, well, my name is your name too. All right, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by the author, Glenn Tate, and the 299 Days book series about the partial collapse, societal, economic, and political collapse in the United States, and the rebuilding afterward. Really great stuff. Check it out. All 10 books are out, including the audio books. All right. First, from Voice of America, the 3rd U.S. Naval Strike Force now has been deployed to deter North Korea, which apparently launched another missile today. The United States is sending a third aircraft carrier strike group to the Western Pacific region in an apparent warning to North Korea to deter its ballistic missile and nuclear programs. Apparently, it's not working. But the USS Nimitz, one of the world's largest warships, will join the other two supercarriers, the USS Carl Vinson and the USS Ronald Reagan, in the Western Pacific. So we'll be watching that very closely as well. Something else very interesting, there's an article at the Daily Beast, Russia's killer satellites reawaken. Well, there are three spacecraft that have been just kind of sitting idle for the last year. Well, now they're back in action. Apparently, these satellites are able to power, under their own power, they can navigate. They don't just float through space in an orbit. They can actually change their positions. And according to this report, these satellites now have moved close, very close to other objects in space, showing that they are maneuverable. So this could be a serious threat. It could be just a inspection type satellites, which the United States has. But these things just sit there for a year, year and a half dormant, just floating through space, and all of a sudden they start moving and moving toward other pieces of space equipment that's floating up there. Very interesting. The concern is that it could be weaponized. It could be used for disrupting navigational or military or communications satellites. So this is really interesting watching this. We're going to follow this. The article says the possible wartime implications of inspection satellites are obvious. You can probably equip them with lasers, maybe some explosives, Zach said of the Cosmos triplets in 2015. If one of them comes very close to some military satellites, it probably can do some harm. So this is what they're concerned about. Star Wars, isn't it? This is pretty amazing. Here's something that's amazing, as in it just does not even compute in my brain. There is a book out, and this was from Pamela Geller. There's a bunch of stuff over there. This is just mind-numbing how this world is so deceived, embracing this global conqueror. There's a book now aimed at children called Talking About Terrorism, Responding to Children's Questions. Now, in this book, her article says, the lessons of the conquered. The British people are already essentially defeated. They are more concerned about being called Islamophobic than actually doing anything to stop Islamic terrorism, and they are disarming their children, leading the sheep to the slaughter. And what does she mean by this? In this book, they are actually encouraging children to write a letter to a terrorist. They explain that this was published just weeks before the Manchester Arena bombing that killed, 22 people last weekend, describes the indiscriminate mass murder of innocent members of the public as just a type of war. It tells primary age children that terrorists kill people because they believe they are being treated unfairly and not shown respect. It gives examples of terrorists whose ideas then turn out to be right. And they use the suffragettes' use of terrorism, violence, and they were called terrorists, it stated. Of course, the suffrage movement was to end slavery. So they're basically taking Islamic terrorists and placing them on the same mantle as those who were fighting against slavery. And while they used terrorism, they were called terrorists. But look, what a good thing we have now. Slavery's gone. So these guys are doing terrorism, but it's probably because they were disrespected or treated unfairly. This is amazing. Targeted toward children. So in an activity recommended for pupils ages 7 to 11, teachers are urged to, quote, invite children to write a letter to a terrorist. If they could ask a terrorist 6 questions, what would they be? And this is to help the children understand why terrorists do what they do. In this article says the primary school classroom is not the place to humanize terrorism by pretend dialogue. In trying to help children understand terrorist motives, the book invites sympathy for the killers, critics claim. And by invoking suffragettes and Nelson Mandela, it leads children to question whether terrorism might be justifiable, they say. Incredible what's happening. And now we actually see that happening in the United States. We have also from the Geller Report, Representative Jackie Speier, a Democrat from, you guessed it, California, says Muslim youths could become so isolated that violence becomes their only avenue of making a statement about their religion. You heard it right. That's what was played at the beginning of the, I shortened it down, but that's what was played at the beginning of the show. Now making excuses for them. We are embracing our conquerors as a culture. And now we've got reports here that from the Independent out of the UK, ISIS tests chemical weapons on human guinea pigs. Secret documents reveal security forces now fear the Islamist group may hatch a plot to contaminate Western food supplies with formulas that quickly dissolve in liquid. Imagine what would happen to the Western United States with the amount of food that it takes to feed this population. They don't have to hit very much. They only have to hit a few random different food supplies before. Can you imagine the food shortages that would create? Just the fear of it. Just the investigation of it. Well, let's bring it back into national news. Two white women are forced to close a burrito shop because of cultural appropriation, because they're not Latino. So you're actually stealing intellectual property and repackaging it. They went to Mexico. They found these delicious, amazing burritos. And they said, hey, let's do the same thing up here in Oregon. Well, this article was ran. They wouldn't tell us too much about the technique. We were peeking into the window of every kitchen, totally fascinated by how easy they made it look. We learned quickly it isn't quite that easy. After the article was published, social media lit up with accusations of cultural appropriation. The outrage snowballed after a writer for the Portland Mercury slammed the two women for cultural appropriation and colonizing recipes from Mexican cuisine. Wow. This was from that article. This week in White Nonsense, two white women, Kaylee Wilgus and Liz Connolly, decided it would be cute to open a food truck after a fateful excursion to Mexico. The piece opened. The owner of Cook's Burrito all but admitted in an interview with Willamette Week that they colonized this style of food. Oh my gosh, they were colonizing. So let's recap the story thus far. These two white women went to Mexico, ate tacos, and then decided they would just take what the locals clearly didn't want to give them. If that wasn't bad enough, they decided to pack up all their stolen intellectual property and repackage it. The sin. So now they've committed the unpardonable sin of cultural disappropriation. I remember this, it was about 2 years ago when this white college student, male, was wearing dreadlocks, and there was a black teacher, instructor, professor, with her hands on her hips, just ripping into this guy for cultural appropriation, taking something from another culture when you don't belong to that culture. But it's interesting, it only works one way. Wow. The communists have done a good job of really driving a wedge between people. Anything that can be different, they're just opening the divide. Here's another great reason to move out of the People's Democratic Republic of California. This is an article from BearingArms.com. That was this week. Well, on the 19th, this was posted. stating, this morning, the state of California released their language regarding their assault weapon and high-capacity magazine bans. The document, the state mandates all firearms that they consider to be assault weapons must be registered with the Department of Justice. Each assault weapon, they're mostly targeting AR-15s, but there are several firearms that fall into this category. You must, each gun owner would have to establish an account under the California Firearms Application Reporting System. And you have to give, of course, your name, address, telephone number, date of birth, sex, height, weight, eye color, hair color, military identification number, California driver's license or identification card number, U.S. citizenship status. Well, why would that matter? Wait, you have to show U.S. citizenship status? Well, that's racist. You have to list your place of birth, country of citizenship, alien registration number. Okay, now I'm confused. The following information: firearm type, make and model, caliber, firearm color, barrel length, serial number, all identification marks. Then you got to take photos of the weapon, two from each side, two on the left, two on the right. And then you got to take it in and you have to have an FFL holder, engrave a special serial number, a registration serial number onto the receiver. Once the serial number is engraved on your firearm, you have to provide pictures to the Department of Justice showing the serial number was completed. You have to pay a $15 fee per firearm. Oh, but hey, the upside, there are no limits to the number of firearms that can be registered at a single transaction, but they can deny your application for any reason. Oh, heck yeah, they're going to let you register all of them with pictures and a special secondary serial number. The silliest part of this whole thing is the California Department of Justice isn't even ready for the registration process to begin. They cannot even facilitate this yet. Unbelievable. No, I believe it. It's just time. It's time to redoubt. It is time to strategically relocate to where it is still free. And that's what the American Redoubt is all about. And we're going to talk about that when we come back in a minute. Don't forget to mark your calendars. T-Rex 2017, a nationwide grid-down emergency preparedness exercise. We are going to simulate earthquakes, plural. And much like the Cascadia Rising, the government major earthquake exercise that they did last year, and of course other exercises they've done around the New Madrid fault line, the state and federal governments are telling people to prepare for the big one, which could come at any time. And they said, just don't be fearful. It's just common sense. This is a scientific fact. It's going to happen at some point in the future, and it could happen at any moment. So we're going to do our part. We're going to practice this grid-down emergency communications exercise, very much emergency communications-centric. So go to amron.com, A-M-R-R-O-N.com. That's the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, which is actually a international emergency communications network. Now we have operators in every state, plus Canada and Puerto Rico, and now elsewhere around the world, as people are joining, coming on board and joining AMRON in case of a major disaster when conventional communications are disrupted. People want to stay informed and they want to check on loved ones and find out what's going on. And that's what this exercise is all about. Lots more information is going to be coming starting next week after I get done taking this course next weekend. So I'm going to be really busy up until that point. After that, it's going to be all about prepping up for T-Rex. T-Rex 2017. And also don't forget to mark your calendars for June 30th through July 2nd. That's Friday through Sunday, the weekend right before the 4th of July. The God and Country Celebration in Marble, Washington. Awesome family event. You can go to marblecountry.com to get all the information. The first session will start Friday, June 30th at 7 p.m. sharp, but the gates will open actually at noon on Friday, so you can get there early. Vendors will be there serving food starting at 5 p.m., and that is up in Marble. So get the directions by going to marblecountry.com. That's up in the northern part of Stevens County, Patriot territory. All right, we'll be back in a minute with segment two. When we come back, stay right there.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
The world is caught in an era of socialist expansion. Most of the nations are affected. And America is a target. In fact, the number one target of both the socialist and the communist. If we permit our great system to crumble through the apathy of our citizenship, we shall lose not only our freedom, but our prosperity and our still brighter future.
Are you aware of your water rights? Water is one of the foundational elements of life, and a resource that you must have ample access to if you are going to make your property a viable place of self-sufficiency. For those who are considering purchasing property, keep in mind that in some states, water rights can be sold separate from the land and don't always automatically transfer with the property purchase. So it's important to be sure that any existing water rights are included in the terms of your property purchase agreement. If no existing water rights are in place for your land, obtaining water rights should be a top priority. Let's face it, the longer you wait, the more stringent and limiting the government regulations are likely to become. This is Brian Domke of Strategic Landscape Design, helping you live a life of liberty.
Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate to help you get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho. Get a hold of some really great patriots, good folks. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is who you want to get a hold of, and they will definitely make sure that you are taken care of. My email address is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And, of course, that's our website, radiofreeredoubt.com. If you're listening on a CD or audio file that somebody gave you, you downloaded, you want to go to learn more, go to radiofreeredoubt.com. And thank you guys for helping to spread the word amongst your friends, family, other like-minded patriots. This is really grateful. And we're also very grateful for your support. I also wanted to say that under the support tab, we greatly appreciate it. We now accept Bitcoin. If you want to make Bitcoin donations, a gift, we do take Bitcoin. If you want to pay your Amron membership dues with Bitcoin, you can do that. And we've got a separate address for just regular support. And any amount, $5, $10, $20 a month, it all adds up and it all helps. Thank you. And we are growing. The costs are growing. This just really has launched in the last 6 years. We're coming up on 6 years. Radio Free Redoubt's been on the air, doing podcasts, and spreading the word. So it's because of you guys making this possible by supporting us and the growing costs as we grow. So there's several different ways you can do that. But PayPal, of course, Bitcoin, and we also have a drop mail. So thank you guys. The other way that you can support us is by shopping at Amazon and clicking on the Amazon link at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com first. No matter what you're going to buy, just a pair of tennis shoes or a set of tools or whatever it is, when you click on that, that's an affiliate link, and they kick back a small percentage to us. It doesn't cost you any more. They just pocket it if they don't have to pay it out to somebody. So if you want to help support us, just do that, and it would be greatly appreciated. Okay, now the other people that are doing a really good job is RedoubtNews.com. And Sherry Diwali wrote an article, which is pretty cool and pretty timely, because I'm actually – I have a article drafted that I'm not quite done with. And her article's titled Defining the American Redoubt. Now, this kind of stemmed from some local members of local press in the Spokane Spokesman Review and the Coeur d'Alene Press in Coeur d'Alene, trying to desperately grasp at trying to understand what the American Redoubt is. And so in their minds, it's a couple of things. First of all, it's a religious prepper movement. Somehow they've gotten that. They twisted that out of some people that just wanted to, I guess, have some limelight, do some interviews, and they're very much prepper-centric type of individuals. So they said, oh, this must be what the American Redoubt is all about. These guys, they love the American Redoubt. They moved here, and they're preppers. So the American Redoubt movement must be a prepper movement. So they just reached that conclusion on their own, falsely. And then recently, this individual types up this article. An individual, one person, with a little column in the Socialist Review, makes this connection. Richard Butler from the Aryan Nations followed an imperative to establish a white kingdom in the Pacific Northwest. Now the religious preppers of the American Redoubt movement are answering the siren call to move to the inland Pacific Northwest. This was a cheap shot below the belt. It was irresponsible. It was just wrong on so many levels. It was malicious. And this guy's supposed to be a Christian. Who actually, last I heard, was among the elders of a church, writing stuff like this about his fellow Christians. So I hope that there's a heart change with this individual, because that was dead wrong, absolutely dead wrong, what he did. Now this week, we've got this individual who wrote a piece, Steve Cameron, and it says, Kootenai County, liberal? Citing a poll showing ideologies are swinging to the left, but it was disingenuous. It was a nationwide Gallup poll showing that ideas and tendencies and stuff are, you know, leaning to the left. It didn't say Idaho. It didn't say Kootenai County. This was a nationwide poll. And it is true. The United States, our ideologies are definitely shifting to the left. Liberal. So he goes and finds three experts. Three experts to say, yeah, we are actually here in Kootenai County. We're shifting to the left as well. Okay, so this one individual, LaChance, actually was the first of the three respondents to point out something that younger residents might not remember. Now, this here is strictly propaganda. I'm just preparing you for it now. So this LaChance says, this area used to be a bastion of liberalism, he said. It caused the church heartburn over some issues, believe me. Really? This was a liberal bastion? Hold on to that thought. Now, this other expert who teaches philosophy at North Idaho College has been active in democratic politics. That means a leftist. That means a liberal. That means probably very heavily communist influenced. Democratic politics for years recalled the region's liberal days with fondness. So she said, she sees hope on the horizon. So she's quoted as saying, obviously, if you go way back to unions in mining and so forth, that's one thing. So she's giving an example of how liberal it used to be. And she said, but as recently as the 1990s, we had Democrats representing us in the legislature. Okay, hold on a minute. Because mines were involved in unions, which, yes, they have socialist roots, does not mean this place was a liberal bastion. I guarantee stinking tea that the miners decades ago were not pro-homosexual. They were not pro-communist. They were not pro-Muslim. Most of them were Christians. They were God-fearing patriots who were Democrats when the Democrat Party used to stand up for the little guy, the blue-collar worker, the average hard-working Joe. That's what the Democrat Party was. So they said, oh, as recently as the 1990s, we had Democrats representing us in the legislature. Yes, that was – now, you got to remember, Democrats today are not even the same Democrats as 10 years ago, much less 20 or 25 years ago, because back then – the Democrats who were in office were pro-gun. They were pro-hunting. They were pro-family. Now, they may have been more leaning toward social programs, more welfare. Maybe they were fiscally liberal, but socially conservative. I remember it. So don't try to lie to the people by saying this was a liberal bastion because there were mining unions. When they do not represent the same thing, you, your communist things that you're trying to push today, they're not even the same animal. Not even the Democrats that were in the legislature in the 90s were the same thing as the communist, anti-American, pro-sexual deviant, anti-Christian group as it exists today. Guarantee it. She says maybe Kootenai County is actually finding a way back to its liberal roots. It doesn't have liberal roots. You know the liberal roots that we actually had as Americans? It's called classical liberalism. Classical liberalism. And we are classical liberals. In other words, the people should be allowed to decide their own fate and future without government intervention. Anyway, more it's just pure propaganda. But this guy, Steve Cameron, just recently wrote a piece last September, with an article saying Aryan ghosts haunts us still. Oh, trying to – and then, of course, he pulls in the – now come the redoubters, only adding to the images that Idaho is, well, weird. For everyone who loves this amazing place, it feels kind of sad. No, what's sad is the God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots who are the overwhelming majority in the American redoubt. By the way, you are heavily outnumbered. You've got the newspaper. That's a powerful tool. I'll admit it. But you are heavily outnumbered. This is a conservative bastion. This is why people are moving here from all over the place. Now, back to this gal, Lippert, the one who says she's thinking that we're actually finding a way back to our liberal roots. She even admits there's no doubt that the redoubt movement and other conservative groups have a strong presence here. You have no idea. She said, it's especially true out in the more rural areas, but remember that a lot of Californians moving here, even into Coeur d'Alene, are coming specifically because they're looking for a conservative home. Bingo! She gets it! She says plenty are from Orange County, which is a conservative area. So there's a trend pushing back against liberal views as well. Yeah, that trend is called people redoubting. Those are your redoubters. Those are the people that are moving here. Well, Sherry Duvalli did a great job in this article. I'm going to add some other things with the article that I'm going to be publishing this week. The American Redoubt consists of several areas. Of course, she defines what that is. However, a new label has been coined by the alt-left, that of Redoubter. They have demonized this term to be something crawling up from the gates of hell. Anyone that is conservative, homesteaders, God-fearing, liberty-loving, supports the U.S. Constitution. Which part of this is bad, she asks. Well, to them, all of those things are bad. If you're conservative, well, that's just inherently bad because that means you're not open-minded. If you're a homesteader, that means you do not rely on probably government assistance, which is a bad thing. God-fearing, well, of course, well, no, that's just pure evil. Liberty-loving, oh, and supports the Constitution. We all know that the root of the problems, our national security problems, are constitutionalists and conservative. Basically, they just gave the whole list of what a domestic terror threat is. Conservative, homesteader, God-fearing, liberty-loving, supports the Constitution. That's not good. Well, guess what? We're going to dispel this myth. I have asked for your testimonies, and I thank you guys for responding. We need more. I want to hear from you. We're going to feature one each week. I want them to see what really redoubters are, who it is that's moving here. You define it, not them, not the left, not those that are pushing an anti-American, socialist, communist-rooted, godless, or anti-Christian ideology who are trying to convince you this area is swinging back to the left where it used to be, way over to liberalism, and you're just the weird ones, and it's kind of sad. What's kind of sad is that you are that far out of touch with reality. I'm going to read one to you. I'm going to read one every week, and I want you guys to keep them coming. So, this was titled, Why We Relocated to the American Redoubt. Dear Mr. Schmidt, my wife and I purchased our new home deep within the American Redoubt a little over a year ago. Coincidentally, we were already attracted to the area for its conservative values, religious freedom, and liberty-loving culture, long before learning about the Redoubt movement, which makes us even more happy we moved here. After living for many years in the Seattle area, we were under attack almost daily for our traditional values. The pressure never seemed to stop. We were constantly being stripped of our rights and burdened with heavy taxes and regulations. At every turn, it seemed the left were trying to cram their socialist ideas, or ideals, down our throats. It was overwhelming. We simply could not take it anymore. We had no choice but to retreat. In a way, we almost consider ourselves political refugees who escaped from behind enemy lines. Since moving here, we have continued to develop our new homestead and enjoy our reclaimed freedoms. We have been very active within our immediate community and met many great like-minded people. It has truly been a blessing. Thank you. We always look forward to your next podcast. Sincerely, R and L. I'll just use their initials for the first names. Thank you, and God bless you for taking the time to write that and send that in. And I look forward to hearing from many more of you and your testimonies. And we're going to compile this into a list, a link on RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Then keep adding to these. It'll be a weekly testimony. And I want enough rolling in that we've got enough for the next 2 years sitting there piled up. And I'll read one a week. And we'll just add them all as they come in. We'll add them to this page we're going to set up here in about the next week. Okay, the Redoubt Gear Store, we've got the mugs and t-shirts and the new Join or Die, and they are new. They're nice. The material feels so good. It just hangs on you just perfect, and they're really cool. I've got the dark gray with the black American Redoubt Join or Die logo on it, and then we've got the black with the white logo on it. Just really nice shirts, and the coffee mugs are in, and so lots more is coming and on the way. So check out the Redoubt Gear Store, and then also the Liberty State. It's picking up. We need you guys to go vote. Go to, if you have not done already, go to patriotpolls.org. Show your support for the incoming Liberty State. This is sponsored by Radio Free Redoubt and Patriot Radio. This poll is. Remember, when KXLY, they ran a poll. 8,000 people participated in that poll. They stopped it. They pulled it down. I don't think it was what they were hoping to get. 73% of the people who voted in the poll voted in favor of Eastern Washington becoming Liberty State. So go and show your support by voting for the new state flag and the state seal. Once each of those hits 1,000 voters, whichever flag and whichever seal has the most votes out of 1,000 votes each, that will be the state flag and the state seal for Liberty State. Just go check it out. Let's take a break and come back in just a minute with segment 3 here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Washington State's $2.6 billion budget shortfall is all over the news, along with the mantra that we need to raise taxes to make up the difference. Many of you have asked my opinion on that strategy. Well, to start, this year is the easy year. Next year, the budget shortfall could be as much as $15 billion. So the solution? Well, I think we need to start by answering some fundamental questions. Does government create wealth? No, of course not. In Washington State, what is the primary funding source of government? Well, the answer is small business. Businesses provide over one half of the revenue in this state, so small businesses must thrive for state revenue to increase. How do we make that happen? Government needs to get out of the way. We need to cut the regulatory burden on businesses, such as duplicate reporting, and also speed up the construction permitting process. We also need to provide tax incentives for productivity, and we need to reform our workers' compensation system. Government also needs to downsize, just like the private sector. 8,000 new government jobs over the last 4 years. I would head in a different direction. This means that some administrative jobs need to be eliminated, and mid- and upper-level management must take a pay cut. Next, projects like the creation of the Department of Information Security, some say at a cost of well over $300 million, should be scrapped and the money reappropriated. Lastly, any money sent to local schools and programs should have flexibility built in. We should modify or eliminate unfunded mandates on school districts and local government. In short, we must unshackle the American spirit and put those chains back on government. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. I thank you for listening.
This means that armed police officers responsible for duties such as guarding key sites will be replaced by members of the armed forces. You might also see military personnel deployed at certain events, such as concerts and sports matches.
Warning. A government which must deploy its army to fight the enemy within is halfway to a civil war. So, what will our politicians now do to ensure that's not our fate too? Will they at last close our gates?
And here we are with segment three, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Go to strategiclandscapedesign.com. They're designed to keep you safe and help you thrive on your property. And before you purchase your property, don't forget about their new service. Before committing to purchasing property, one of the services they offer, they will walk the land to help you gain a firsthand knowledge of the opportunities and the constraints that the property offers, providing you professional assessment of its potential to meet your goals. So lots there. Great folks, too. Really good folks. So go check them out. Now, this is Memorial Day. Memorial Day weekend is... it's not just about barbecuing, although it's a great time to do that. What is Memorial Day? Well, let's go back to Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia. Love it. Memorial Day is a federal holiday in the United States for remembering the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. The holiday is currently observed every year on the last Monday of May. It marks the unofficial start of summer vacation season, while Labor Day marks its unofficial end. Many people visit cemeteries and memorials, particularly to honor those who have died in military service. Many volunteers place an American flag on each grave in national cemeteries. Memorial Day is not to be confused with Veterans Day. I'm glad they mentioned this. Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving, while Veterans Day celebrates the service of all U.S. military veterans. So you can't walk up and thank a veteran on Memorial Day for dying for our country. You can go and visit their graves, though. But you can walk up to a veteran on Veterans Day and thank them for their service. And you should. On Memorial Day, the flag of the United States is raised briskly to the top of the staff and then solemnly lowered to the half-staff position, where it remains only until noon. It is then raised to full staff for the remainder of the day. Remember that part. Memorial Day observances in small New England towns are often marked by dedications and remarks by veterans, state legislators, and selectmen. The half-staff position remembers the more than 1 million men and women who gave their lives in service of their country. At noon, their memory is raised by the living who resolve not to let their sacrifice be in vain, but to rise up in their stead and continue the fight for liberty and justice for all. That's why you raise it back up in noon, at noon. We rise as an image of rising back up. In 2000, Congress passed the National Monument of Remembrance Act, asking people to stop and remember at 3 p.m. local time. So if you can remember to do that at 3 p.m., stop what you're doing, bow your head, thank God for our nation and our freedoms, and for the men and women who courageously sacrificed and gave the ultimate price for us to be free, and give us this amazing blessing that God has given to us. Now, this is, the other thing too, poppies. You ever see the poppies, right? Well, it's called the Remembrance Poppy. In 1915, following the Second Battle of Ypres, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, a physician with the Canadian Expeditionary Force, wrote the poem In Flanders Fields. Its opening lines refer to the fields of poppies that grew among the soldiers' graves in Flanders. In 1918, inspired by the poem, the YWCA worker, Moina Michael, attended a YWCA Overseas War Secretaries Conference wearing a silk poppy pinned to her coat and distributed over 24 more to others present. In 1920, the National American Legion adopted it as their official symbol of remembrance. And now, if I'm not mistaken, the Marine Corps League and the VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, all use poppies and give away poppies for small donations to help support their local groups, organizations, units. So you'll still see those. Now, here's a plug for wall builders, because it's Memorial Day and they have a really cool little write-up. I love wall builders. They just minister to me. So I just want to just share that with you. Hopefully you guys enjoy the work that they do too. Learning about our heritage, it's just, they do great, great work. Now I want to do another plug too. TLC Web Hosting. They have been so great, gracious and helpful and supportive of Radio Free Redoubt and Amron with supporting us with web hosting. They have hundreds of websites that they host from all over the country. They're Patriot owned and they're located in the American Redoubt. They're trusted. They're very strong supporters of Radio Free Redoubt and Amron, and they do a great job. Top-notch customer service. And they take care of the SSL certificate. That is a pain. You guys have websites. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, if you mention Radio Free Redoubt, you get 6 months additional web hosting for free when you pay for your first year, if you mention Radio Free Redoubt. So if you got a website you're trying to get up and running and you need it hosted, you want to have it under the control of a Patriot, especially a business located in the American Redoubt, go and check them out. Okay, now this Wall Builders Memorial Day article, I want to read this part of this story. It's so cool. And then we'll close. One amazing example of heroism occurred during the campaign of Guadalcanal, August 1942 through February of 1943. Sergeant John Bassalone and his handful of men were responsible for holding back a Japanese assault of thousands on October 24th through the 25th, 1942. Bassalone, throughout this engagement, personally repaired and manned multiple machine guns. At times, he was unable to shoot his guns over the piles of dead Japanese who fell at the brink of his hill. When his small detachment ran low, Bassalone fought his way through the Japanese lines to resupply critically needed ammunition. The Americans eventually won this long campaign. As a result of his actions, Bassalone was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Later in the war, at the Battle of Iwo Jima in February 19th through March 26th, 1945, Bassalone came ashore with the first wave of Marines. Shortly after landing, his unit was trapped by machine guns from Japanese blockhouses. Bassillon worked his way around one of these blockhouses and single-handedly destroyed it. Later, he was making his way towards an airfield when he came across an American tank trapped in a minefield. While under fire, he guided the tank out of the minefield and to safety. He was later killed by flying shrapnel. Bassillon was awarded the Navy Cross for his courageous actions during the battle. There are many additional stories of heroic and noble acts by American soldiers throughout our history. This Memorial Day, as we remember the military members who lost their lives in battle, let us honor the courage they showed. And fellow patriots, I ask, do you have that kind of courage inside of you if you ever have to fight for freedom, for America again? Let's be inspired by these Americans who've gone before us and their demonstration of courage when their nation was in peril. So as you go around riding your four-wheelers, visiting friends, having barbecues, I want you to just take a moment at 3 p.m., if no other time, just lower your head and thank the Lord for them and think of them so that their lives lost are not in vain. Hua? Hua. Okay, this is John Jacob Schmidt. You guys have a blessed week. We will talk to you next week. And be safe. And thank you guys for your prayers and your support. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.